You are listening to A Window on the Past on West Limerick 102 FM.
As we discussed before, Strathall, I would say, is across the county bounds in the parish Kildallery, right? But whilst Limerick County Council and the Limerick Decade of Centenaries haven't contributed to the memorial, the memorial is actually a memorial to four Limerick men. Two who were killed in action there, one who died from wounds, and the other who was executed.
Yes.
Now, as I say, we have discussed this before, but as I say, I think it's not right that Limerick Decade of Centenaries didn't contribute
yes.
to its memorial, because as I say,
the memorial is for Limerick people.
Yes, like, it's in fairness now. So I know that it's a community group in Cork. Dedicating a memorial to Limerick men and Limerick Decade of Centenaries, or whatever they want to call themselves,
had no part in it.
Didn't see fit to support it. I think that's a disgrace. Anyhow, as I said, the memorial or the ceremony goes ahead on Sunday at 1 o'clock. At quite close to Strathall Chapel, which Strathall Chapel is halfway between Kilfinnan and Kildallery.
Okay.
No. Just to give a brief, two men, Paddy Starr and James Horan, were killed in the action there. A third man, Timothy Hennessy from Kilonan, was seriously wounded and died about a fortnight later. Now, just to clarify, Starr was from Nina.
Okay.
He was attached to the Midlimic Flying Column primarily because he was with Paddy Ryan Lacken. Paddy Ryan Lacken was very friendly with Sean Carroll. The whole team was interlinked. Now, the fourth man is the most interesting case. That's Patrick Casey, which we've discussed before. Casey was from Caharelli. And Casey was, he was forced to surrender at the end of the action. He ran out of ammunition. And he was forced to surrender about 6 o'clock. He was put in the back of a lorry, taken to the barracks in Cork, Victoria Barracks then, Collins Barracks today. First thing on Monday morning, as I said, the action happened on a Sunday afternoon. First thing Monday morning, he was tried by court martial and sentenced to death. And he was executed that evening, that Monday evening, at 6:30.
So within the 24-hour period, he was tried and executed, and that was
tried, it. He was tried, found guilty, and executed. Now, death ran against every rule the British purported to be walking by.
Sure.
You know, it was right of appeal, forget about it. You know, that you were supposed to have 24 hours the evidence against you 24 hours in advance.
Yes.
Now, what was going down, I don't know if we discussed this or not the last day, but what was going down was there was a conflict going on between the British civil authorities and the British military authorities.
Okay.
And the British civil authorities, in other words, the courts, were questioning that the military did not have the right to override civilian legal process.
Okay.
And to prove the point, the British military decided they were going to do what they liked. And unfortunately, poor Patrick Casey.
He was the point that they were proving, unfortunately.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That they could try him. Obviously find him guilty, because they would not try him unless they would find him guilty.
Well, yes.
And execute him. And forget about your civilian courts.
And no due process whatsoever.
No due process. Due process, they didn't want to know about due process. Now, the irony is that that the recorder of the civil recorder in Dublin Castle, I can't even name his name right, he should have warned for the arrest of General MacCready, General Strickland and Brigadier Cameron in Limerick.
Yes.
Now, no, it was over a separate case which was taken. It was a fellow by the name of Regan who was tried in Limerick. But the same thing applied. These, you know, it was against the civil authority, military authorities, overriding and overruling and doing what they liked with the law. With the sort that the warrant was issued for the arrest of Strickland, Cameron and MacCready.
Yeah.
But the upshot was that they backed off the executions. But unfortunately, too late for
Casey.
Yeah, for Casey. Anyhow, one of the interesting things when I was looking through the records this morning, the IRA brigades did not follow county bounds.
Yes.
So you might speak of the East Limerick brigades, right? But the East Limerick brigade contained, or within its boundaries, right, were the parishes of Capawise, Emily, and Cullen in West Tipperary.
Okay.
There were also among.
We kind of said that before, didn't we? That we said it's very difficult to just talk about, you know, action in Limerick because it's there's grey areas always. These are overlapping.
Yes, things are overlapping and they're interchanged and interlocked. Like the relevance now of that is in Strathallan. Strathallan was actually part of East Limerick.
Okay.
That's what people probably don't realise. The Knock and Evan company that covered Strahala, they were part of the Kilfinan Battalion of the East Limerick Brigade. Now, as I say, unfortunately, our bureaucrats didn't see fit to allocate any monies to the upgrading of the memorial at Strahala, which, as I say, it was four Limerick
men. Four Limerick men, yes.
Now, the other side of the thing was there was, whilst Limerick would have claimed, East Limerick would have claimed the area around Strahala and that, there was an area around Gary and Derek and Ethan, which was part of the Childhood Battalion of North Cork.
Okay.
So, you know, as I say, whilst you get some. You give away some as well. Now, on the other side of the county, which I didn't realise until relatively recently, there was a company in the Cahadavan area, the north side of Limerick City, and they were part of the East Clare Brigade. And one of the members of the Cahadavan company was Thomas Gleeson from Clondrina, or Michael Gleeson from Clondrina. And Michael was killed in action at Woodcock Hill, again, around the 1st of June, 1921. Now, what has happened was they had ambushed the train. The East Clare Brigade, or the Flying Five, had ambushed a train at Woodcock Hill.
Okay.
Now, the train was loaded with British soldiers, and it drove through the road or the blockage that the IRA had put up to stop the train. But the train drove through and stopped at Cracklow railway station.
Yes.
The IRA, you know, didn't move away as they should have. So once the train was gone, the train was gone. And they were hanging around, and what happened then was that the train reversed back down the line with the engine turned off.
Oh.
Right? And there was an incline down to Woodcock Hill. And they caught the IRA, dare I say it, unawares. And the first man to be wounded when the British soldiers opened fire. They wounded a man by the name of Christopher McCarthy.
Okay.
Now, Christopher McCarthy was actually from West Clare. Now, Michael Gleeson, who, you know, was a huge man. Now, I'd be very friendly with Michael's grandnephew, Tom yes. Gleeson. And Tom is a huge man. He's a huge man. Tom would be, he'd be well got into the McCulloch. He would be about 6'4", oh. and I'd say bones of 18, 20 stone weight.
Okay.
And that's fit. He's very yes. fit, like, you know. But as I say, so I can well imagine his granduncle lifting up some of McCarthy, throwing him over his back.
Absolutely. And carrying him off. Yeah.
Unfortunately, his courage didn't meet the proper result. The British opened fire and they shot Gleeson and McCarthy, so two were killed as Woodcock Hill. Now, as I say, it's only recent times that I realised that Gleeson was from Clondrina, which is in County Limerick.
Okay.
You know, now, we don't ever think of Clondrina as being County Limerick, but it is. It's out there, Cahadavin.
Yes.
It's in Cahadavin area. So the Cahadavin company was in East Clare for IRA purposes. And the two other guys from that area was that were killed as well were the two O'Donovan brothers. Now, they were civilians.
Yes.
But they were from roughly the same area, and they were killed outside the Blackwater. Now, you don't know where Blackwater is. Blackwater is on the road from Limerick, dare I say, to Broadford.
Okay.
Before you turn off as for Killaloo.
Yes.
You know? And there were only two young folks out there searching for
birds. Yeah, it's a desperately sad story. I did a little mini program here about them on the radio station at their anniversary earlier this year, the centenary.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, very, yeah. very sad.
Yeah, it's very sad because, as I say, they had no involvement at all.
And nor had their families, like no familial involvement whatsoever, no. Yeah.
Now, that's the man that I would believe that passed the information, because the two young fellas had gone out from their home searching for birds' nests in February, on a Sunday morning in February 1921. And they were walking away, inside an old mill.
Yes.
For birds' nests. And a guy living across the road in Blackwater House, I would believe he was a British, a retired British officer.
Okay.
And I would believe that he contacted Sarsfield Barracks, or as we know it today, New Barracks as was then.
So yes.
Because in the inquiry happens, the officer attached to the military barracks, the intelligence officer said that they had received information, right? Now, which meant that the message came by phone, because if you worked out the timing,
it was the only way possible.
Yeah, the young fellas would have had to go to mass.
Yes.
It's a Sunday morning, they would have had to go to mass, and it's only afterwards. And don't you know, Irish mothers would want them sons to have a breakfast.
Yes.
So to be, I would say, after 9 o'clock, before they set off for
Blackwater.
Yeah, and it was, they were shot around 1 o'clock. So if you worked out the timing, it would have taken them at least an hour.
To get there,
yeah. least an hour. Yeah. So I said the earliest they were there was around 11 o'clock.
Mm.
And, that when our friend passes his message now, I say he couldn't have gone by pony and trap, because we went by pony and trap. It wouldn't have made sense to go to the new barracks,
sure.
because there would be RIC barracks somewhere in between.
Yeah.
But I suspect he, being an ex-officer, would have had contacts in the barracks.
So he just picked up the phone.
And he would have picked up the phone, yeah. And as I say, the idea was that they were going to the Black and Tans and RIC would come out first, and they would drive the, if there was IRA, they talked about IRA there.
Yes.
And they would flush them back towards Limerick, and the military were coming out from Limerick.
So they'd flush them out and catch them from the other side as well.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But they were told not to open fire unless they were under threat.
Yes.
Of course, the man in charge of the group was Sergeant James Horton from County Mayo. Now, there's a lot going on, say, about blaming the Black and Tans for everything that happened.
Yes.
I tell you, and it putting halos on the heads of the RIC. But whilst most of the RIC were decent men
doing a job.
Sorry?
There were decent men doing a job.
Yeah. But you then have people like Mr.
Horan.
Sergeant Horan, who was ruthless, absolutely ruthless after by any stretch of the imagination. And he denies telling them to open fire, but
they wouldn't have done it if they didn't have instructions.
Probably not. No, either way, anyhow, said that there was three youngsters and a cousin. Now, the cousin did make a break and he got away. One of the youngsters, was frozen to the spot until the two fellows were shot dead.
Yes.
Now, there was no way that they were a threat to the police. They weren't there.
They were children. No, these children.
Children, yeah, effectively children. One of them was 16, the other was 18.
Yeah.
The British admitted that was in the court inquiry that it was an unfortunate incident, right? Now, if they thought that they were armed after the IRA, they wouldn't have described it as an unfortunate incident.
They would have described it as you know, a necessary thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, as I said, every doubtful killing in the Limerick area, Sergeant James Horan was there.
Mm.
You can blame all the Black and Tans you want, but the common factor always in around Limerick City would be Sergeant Horan. Yeah.
And the tendency to fire first and ask questions after, or not even bother asking questions.
Yeah, doesn't even enter it.
Yeah.
Now, I will say one thing. There was an inspector, and he was there, John Greeley, no, very honourable, decent man. And he reflects the conflicts you meet within the RIC. Greeley was from Stoke, some county of Roscommon.
Yes.
And Horan is from County Mayo, right? No, as I said, the conflict is there, that Horan, as I say, is a ruthless man. Horan was a teacher down in the Christian Brothers College, either Christian TBC or BBC in Cork.
Oh.
Before he joined the RIC.
Okay.
Well, that's hardly a step up in the world. You know, I would have imagined being a secondary school teacher would be
more of a pensionable, reliable job.
Yeah, I thought so. But
do we know why he changed?
We don't. No, it might be that he wasn't a permanent appointment as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been, but it also might be that he wasn't suitable to be a teacher.
Well, it would seem from his behaviour that he didn't seem very kindly disposed.
Well, you know, as I said, there certainly is question marks. There are question marks to be answered about Sergeant Horan. Now, the conflict, or the contrast, I won't say conflict, the contrast between himself and Greeley continues. When the Irish War of Independence was over in July, after the truce in July 1921, Greeley retired to live with his family in Dublin. Right?
Mm-hmm.
However, Horan had to get out of the country and take up employment as a shop walker with Gamage's department store in London under an assumed name.
Which just proves that, you know, that like these deeds follow you, don't they?
Well, for some people there's no peace.
Some people don't deserve it either, you know, they...
Well, that would be debatable, as you say, if you have a truce, you have a truce. Anyhow, as I said, either way, We don't know what happened to Horan, except we know that he was working in Gamage's apartment store.
Under an assumed name, yeah.
In London, under an assumed name. That much we know in the about 10 years later, you know, in the late 20s. When he died, you see, because he had an assumed name, you don't ever know when he died.
Sure.
Now, I wonder, he must have had relations in Mayo. Now, I've never managed to trace them, and I'm not sure that they would be too well.
Happy to be traced, yes.
Yeah, yeah. But it would be interesting to know what did actually happen.
Yeah, just, I mean, from this, you know, like it's 100 years later, just as a historian, what happened?
Yeah, what actually happened to him? So, as I say, I know what happened really. Really, he's buried above in, what's it called, the cemetery in the south side of Dundee's Range.
Okay.
No, no, as I say, I had contact with his granddaughter a few years ago. You know, she was making inquiries about did I have any record of his time in Limerick. And I had, because I interviewed a man about 1990, a man called Joe Graham, a man of Cotty. And Joe told me that he was captured by the Black and Tans and taken into the barracks in William Street, and he was given a bad beating.
Yes.
And that he effectively were going to beat him. I won't say to beat him to death, but beat him within an inch of his life.
Sure.
But Inspector really got wind of what was happening, and he went in and he told him to stop the beating.
Yes.
And he had he had Joe sent to the military hospital up in Sarsfield Barracks, what's Sarsfield Barracks today. You know, so as I say, the vibe I really would be as a very decent man. Also, I know in terms of the O'Donovan brothers when they were killed, it would appear to have been Inspector Greeley that came to the family and apologised for what had happened.
And again, you know, an incredibly brave thing to do.
Well,
and honourable, like just
an honourable thing, you know. That, like, I disagree with what Jim Heller is doing. That he's putting halos on the heads of every RIC man.
Yes.
Like the likes of Horan as well as the likes of Greeley. Like, I would have great respect for men like Greeley, because to hold your, you know, to hold your standards.
Absolutely.
When
yeah.
When it's much too easy to do otherwise. You know, you have to respect a man like that. But then you look at Horan, and he has no standards. And as I say,
you can't treat them alike.
You can't. Like, they blame the Black and Tans for everything that happens. Sorry, Horan is worse than any Black and Tan, because he's an educated man.
That's
the last of the Black and Tans have been damaged.
He's an educated man, and he was an Irishman. You know, he was committing these atrocities against his own people.
Yeah, and he didn't have the excuse of suffering from shell shock.
Or seeing it as an act of war, which, you know, as we said, a lot of the time the Tans would have seen it as an act of war. They were doing a job, you know.
Yeah, well, some of them might have said it. Certainly they were damaged goods in the sense of having been in the trenches.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I mean, you know, they were coming from one dire situation into another.
You have been listening to A Window on the Past on West Limerick 102 FM.